Turn to Genesis chapter 45. Keep your finger right there, please. Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. And you get to have a morning off. Genesis chapter 45. Before I go into the scriptures in this place in Genesis, I want to talk for just a moment about Memorial Day and about a specific event. 70 years ago, 12 days from now, June 6, 1944, the largest war amphibious assault in human history got underway as the Allies embarked on D-Day. Ike gave the go. They had waited for weeks and days with great frustration because the weather on the English Channel would not cooperate and rains kept coming and it was treacherous, more treacherous to go than to remain. And finally, he gave the acknowledgement and the command, and it was underway, June 6, 1944. The Battle of D-Day literally changed the entire tide of the war against Germany, the Nazis, their stranglehold against the nations and the peoples of the world, and the tyranny began to be defeated. It was May 8, 1945, was called what? V-E-Day. VE Day, Victory in Europe Day. May 7th was the day for Commonwealth countries, by the way. May 8th for us. Now, many of you are probably very, very familiar with people who served in World War II. In their own minds, they didn't see themselves as heroes. We do. But they didn't see themselves that way. They simply said yes. Responded to the call to help free the world. I'm sure they were every bit terrified as you and I would be. Thousands died. Many, many more thousands were wounded. But the heroic American soldier, as well as the other Allied soldiers with whom we were in league, fought on. And we are here today standing on the shoulders of the freedom that they provided for us. Can you say thank God?
Yes, thank God.
There are over 35,000 days in a century. Some say that possibly and probably D-Day was the important, single most important day of the 20th century. The most decisive day in the entire century. What a different world, you guys, if D-Day had not been won by the Allies. Now, you probably are well aware, but on Memorial Day, and we could talk about the other wars. We could talk about Vietnam, Iraq, Persian Gulf. We are honored to be in the midst of you who served in the military on our behalf. We are honored. And as for me and my house, I will do everything I can to make sure that no one ever again treats an American soldier like those of you who came home from Vietnam were treated. That was anathema and should never happen again. On Memorial Day, the flag of the United States is raised briskly to the top of the staff, and then it is solemnly lowered to half-staff position, where you realize it remains half-staff only until noon. It is then raised full staff for the remainder of the day. And it is raised from the half-staff position, and it is put in the half-staff position to remember the more than 1 million men and women who have given their lives in service for our country. At noon, their memory is raised by those who are alive. That's the meaning of what takes place. The living raise the flag in a resolution not to let the sacrifice be in vain for those who have passed. But they raise up and they rise up in their stead to continue to fight for liberty and for justice for all. On this Memorial Day weekend, let's give thanks for those who have fought and died on our behalf. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Deliverers. What does it mean to be a deliverer. Those who fought on our behalf in the multitude of wars and actions and lost their lives became and were and are those who still fight on our behalf are deliverers. In the dictionary, the word deliverer means one who saves from danger or destruction. One who saves from danger or destruction. You might think, I'm no deliverer. Yet, it's what you do each time you pray for someone else. Strategic prayer partners, those of you who have committed to praying for people and families and communities, for our nation, those of you who lift your voice in prayer to Jesus, every time you lift your voice, you function in the place of a deliverer. Each time you reach out to your neighbor, each time you give a word of encouragement or you reach out to strengthen and to help, you never know. Man, you never know when somebody needs that one quick moment of encouragement that you provided to them just then. I got a call a few weeks ago from somebody who said, Kevin, you need to check on this person right away. They had not called me for help, but you need to check on them immediately. I called and this person did not want my help, no way, shape, or form, didn't want Jesus, didn't want anything to do with Jesus, but I have a gun and it's ready to, and I'm ready to end. And I tried to share Jesus, tried to pray, didn't want any part of it, click, hung up. You know what I did? I called the sheriff's department. That person may still not be grateful that I did so, but the person is still alive. You never know when one little thing that you do will change a life forever. How do you live your life? How you live your life makes a difference. People see how you pull your car in your driveway. Well, hopefully they're not paying attention all the time. People see how you get out of the car with each other and how you get into the car with each other, and they see you go to church. Don't kid yourself. They see you go to church. They see how you come home. They see how we interact and how you live on your block, how you live in your neighborhood, how you treat your family. Simple stuff. They see. How do you see what you do? You've heard the old story. The business tycoon was totally busy, swamped, had no time for his kid, no time whatsoever. But he had promised his son he'd take him fishing, his little boy. You remember the story? So they finally, the tycoon was at least had enough integrity to say, I don't want to be bothered with this kid. I don't want to be bothered with fishing. I got things to do, but I promised him, so I'll take him. Goes out, spends a few hours fishing, and I tell you, the fish were not biting. It was a total frustration. So the tycoon comes home empty-handed, puts his stuff away, sits down to write a few notes in his journal, and then gets on with the day. And the little boy comes home, thanks his dad with a smile on his face, go to his room, and he writes in his journal. And later in life, true story, they found the journals. And the dad's journal said, no fish, lousy time, total waste of a few hours. And they find the little boy's journal. And he's written, one of the best days of my life. Dad took me fishing. How do you see what you do? Do you see what you do sometimes as, what a waste of time, I'm not getting anywhere. People don't want what I've got. I'm ashamed of what I've done. I'm ashamed of the sins of my life. I don't qualify to help anybody. There's nobody I can help. And it's Jesus in heaven who has forgiven you with His grace, washed you by His blood, cleansed you, saved you, redeemed you, set you free. Is He looking in heaven saying, you're my son, and you're my daughter, and I see what you're doing, and I see your prayers, and I hear your prayers, and I see you reaching out. Great job, and He's cheering for you. But you can't hear it because of what we think sometimes of ourselves. Anybody ever been like that?
Yeah.
Punch each other in the arm and say, stop that.
Stop that.
See, God sees things a little differently than we do. The scripture says in Isaiah 55, if you're taking notes, just write it down. Listen to it if you don't have it. Isaiah 55, verse 9. Isaiah 55, verse 9 says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And listen to this. God says, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, I'd rather have his thoughts, wouldn't you?
Yes, amen.
Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. Just listen to the scripture instead of having to turn to it, but I'll read it to you. Romans 10, 13 through 15. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then, the writer asks, shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15 of Romans chapter 10. How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good news. What's the verse? What's the message you've got in your heart? Do you have good news to give away? Come on, more than five of you, tell me the answer. Do you have good news to give away? I want you to look at your feet. Come on, every eye down at your feet. Say, you're beautiful. You've got good news. You get to be good news for someone who needs Jesus. And you've got him right in here. Listen to the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You're writing down notes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 20. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 20. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry, finish it with me, of reconciliation. Come on, of what? Of reconciliation. You and I have a ministry of reconciliation. You have God's word, God's message, and we can reconcile people to God. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador do? Come on. What's an ambassador do? Represent a big honcho kind of thing. What else? What's an ambassador do? They handle the business in a different country, right? Usually in a different country. They're in another land representing the land from which they come. Church, what land do you come from? The kingdom of God. The Bible says we're strangers and pilgrims on this earth, but we are part of his kingdom. And we are ambassadors for Christ. So guess what? No matter where you go, you are representing God. You go, whoa, that's not always so good. Well, that's what convicts us, and that's why we change, right? That's why we keep changing. I better do a better job being an ambassador. But that's why people are watching. Right? Amen. I know, I'm just laboring the point, but I think it's important for us to understand. And now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, verse 20, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We get to be reconciled. We get to help reconcile others. You have a crucial ministry. Me? Yep, you. A deliverer. A reconciler. An ambassador. Reaching out, praying, serving, loving, encouraging, shining the light of Jesus. You are his hands extended to a needy earth.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
We shouldn't be surprised when things get dark in the earth. How many know things are getting darker and darker out there? We shouldn't be surprised. People need Jesus. Right? So we get to be their ambassadors. All right, I want you to say it with me. I want you to say this with me. God sent
me.
You're looking at me like, I don't know if I want to say that. Say it with me again. God sent
me.
That's true.
Yes,
and you. God sent me. God sent you. Where do you live? Who do you have influence with? Where did he plant you? You look at me and go, ah, no, it was all an accident. I don't belong here. Well, long accident. Been here a bunch of years now. So I must conclude, God sent me. God sent you right where you are. I want you to think about that for a moment. God sent me. Now, your finger is in Genesis 45, and we really will go there for a moment. We did about 8 lessons on the life of Joseph, and I want to do just one more. Now, you remember the life of Joseph. As a 17-year-old kid, he'd had dreams that his family would bow down to him, and probably a dumb teenager because he shouldn't have shared the dream with dad and his brothers. Hey, you're all going to bow down to me. Might have created a little problem. They hated him so much and they were so jealous of him. He comes to check on them. What happens to Joseph? They throw him into a pit. They were going to kill him. And one of the brothers prevails, says, don't kill him. They throw him into an empty water cistern out in the middle of the wilderness. And then they choose to sell him to Egyptians and to a Moabite, actually to Moabites. And they were people that were business people, caravan. And they went and sold him to Potiphar. Remember Potiphar. Remember the man who was right up there in lineage with authority by Pharaoh. And he serves Potiphar. And he just does fantastic. He's a 17-year-old kid. He's a slave. But this guy's excellent. Excellent spirit. Excellent integrity. Held on to who he was no matter how bad it got. Listen to me now. He held on to integrity, and as a young man of God, he was who he was no matter how bad it got. Kids, is it sometimes tough in school? Are things tough in school every now and then? Do people always love your Jesus? Say, tell me about the Lord. How about on your jobs, guys? How about with your neighbors? Anybody have perfect neighbors all the time? Oh, you do this, Pastor Sherry. Carol and Pastor Sherry live next door to each other. There you go. That's right. Good job. Good job, you guys. Okay, but it's not always perfect. But you hold on to who God has made you to be, and you're the shining light of Jesus to them. Like Joseph. So Joseph gets sold to Potiphar. What happens to Joseph? Remember? Come on, I'm just doing history. Remember what happens? Potiphar's wife wants him. She's chasing him, and he's running as far as he can, as hard as he can the other way. She traps him in the house. He furiously runs out, leaves his cloak. She picks up the cloak, hatches a story, and accuses him of rape. What happens to Joseph? Gets thrown into prison. Joseph holds on to who he is, no matter how bad it gets, and he starts to rise to the top as the lead servant in prison. And then later he interprets Pharaoh's dreams. I don't need to tell the whole story all over again, but he interprets Pharaoh's dreams and he comes out. And one night after years in prison, sold into slavery as a 17-year-old man, the Bible tells us for 13 years, the word of the Lord tried him. We don't like tough times for 2 days, do we? 13 years? Abraham waited a long time for a son to be born. God's in charge. Sometimes it doesn't always come. Sometimes it doesn't always come, but the Lord came at the right time with a what? A ram in the thicket. Interesting. So now he comes to the time where it's time to reveal himself to his brothers. Remember the dreams of Pharaoh that Joseph interprets. You're going to have 5 fantastic years of plenty, followed by 5 horrific years of famine. And you better prepare in the time of plenty for the famine that's coming, because you won't even remember the good times once it turns bad. And Pharaoh sets him in charge. Now we're 2 years into the famine. Okay, it's been a couple years in jail, maybe longer. Now we've had 5 years of famine. Then 2 years. Overall, basically, commentators typically agree that by this time, by the time his brothers come to him, he's probably about 37, 38 years old. He had dreams 20 to 22 years earlier. And all of a sudden, his brothers show up and what? Bow down to him. Because they're in famine and they've come to buy food. Now, I want you to look at verse 3 through 8. Genesis 45, verses 3 through 8. Then Joseph said to his brothers, Genesis 45, verses 3 through 8. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the back of the room. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? He reveals himself to his brothers. He says, it's me. But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. How much you want to bet?
Yeah,
I'm the guy you left for dead. I'm the guy who sold you turkeys.
Yeah.
We don't read that between the lines, do we? For they were dismayed in his presence. Verse 4, Genesis 45, verse 4. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. I didn't forget that, guys. But, verse 5, but now, watch what he says. Do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. Listen, read the next four words with me. For God sent me. Don't be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land. There are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And verse 7, God, what? Sent me before you to preserve posterity for you in the earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, verse 8, it was not you who sent me here, say it with me, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of all his house, a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Now that's out of the New King James. Just with your finger there, as you see those scriptures, I'm going to read it out of the New International Version. And now, do not be distressed, verse 5, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Verse 7. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, verse 8, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. All right. I'm going to give you 3 D's. Number one, decide. Decide. Decide in your heart. Say it with me. Decide in your heart. At some point, church, at some point, each of us in this room, make a choice. You've got decisions to make. We all have decisions to make. You can stay and live in your circumstance, or you can rise up and say, the past is gone, I'm going to let it go. Say it with me. The past is gone, I'm going to let it go. Listen to the scripture. Luke 9, verse 62. Just listen. I know you don't have it there. Luke 9, verse 62. But Jesus said to this disciple, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. God calls us forward. He calls us into a new day. If you've given your life to Jesus and he's washed you clean and you're redeemed and you belong to him, he says, don't go back and live in the pigsty. Don't go back and rejoin sin. Don't go back and live in that. Go on to a new day. Somebody say it with me. Go on to a new day. Decide in your heart. Out of the message, that verse says, Jesus said, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off until tomorrow. Seize the day. How many like the message?
Yeah.
Message versus seize the day. Philippians, listen to Philippians chapter 3. If you're writing notes, Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Paul says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Listen to what's the one thing. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let me read that out of the message and we're going to talk about it in a moment. Friends, don't get me wrong, By no means, Philippians 3, 13 and 14, by no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, Paul says. But I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running. I'm not turning back. Say it with me. I'm off and running. I'm not turning back. One more time. I'm off and running. I'm not turning back. Come on, how many have ever been hurt in this room? It's easier to say that than have his show me your hands. How many have been the hurter in this room? Oh, okay. Don't put your hands up. People, we've made mistakes. We've messed up. We've hurt other people. Other people have hurt us. And many people today choose to live and stay right there. Now listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I acknowledge and understand some of us have had horrific abuse in our life. Without question. I am not making light of it. I am not casual. I am not indifferent of it. We've been involved in counseling ministry for 4 decades. And some people, it's all they can do to get up and limp again because of the horrific things that have happened that should never happen. Kids should be treated well. Parents should love one another. There shouldn't be this stuff that happens. But guess what? Sinners sin. And we all need Jesus, a Savior. We all need him. But when you've received him, it's not time to go back and live in the past. Let the stuff go. Make a choice in your heart. I've got to go on. We can counsel all day long. I can give you 10 points a day to live by. Go memorize. I can give you 14 verses to go memorize. But until you turn the switch on in your chooser, I can't help you get there. There comes a point where you say, you know, I'm not going to go back to the past. Don't you think there was a point where Joseph, as a 17-year-old kid, sitting in a dungeon, sitting in a cell, he's been accused of attempted rape, he's been sold by the family that's supposed to love him. Don't you think somewhere he got up and he said, I still love God. I don't know where he went, but I believe he still knows me, and I'm going on. That's right. I got to make the best of this lousy situation. I got to go on. You think he might have said that? Yeah. 4 of you think he might have said that. Listen, you may have heard me tell this story before. I was at a Rotary lunch or a Chamber of Commerce luncheon. And I don't know, anybody remember Coach Bobo Brayton? He was the most winning coach in the history of the WSU baseball team. And he was, what a guy. You know, how many like Lou Piniella? Remember Lou Piniella of the Mariners? Yeah, he was just a kick to watch. Sometimes, you know, if he was just going to stir up the game, Lou would go out and kick the bases all over, yell at the umps and everything just to stir the game up. And everybody in the chance go, yeah, everybody's cheering him on. You remember seeing, anybody remember the commercial? Lou went out, he's acting all, he's kicking this, and he's talking to the first base coach, and everybody thinks he's yelling at him. He's going, hey, what are you guys having for dinner? How's everything going? You know, it's just to stir stuff up. Bobo Brayton was just that kind of guy. He was full of life. He was a fantastic coach. And he was a hard guy, but he produced winning teams. And he said a statement that I've never forgotten. He said, I look for people on my team that if an error happens, they drop the ball, I look for the guy who gets up, gets back in the game, tosses the ball, and goes right back for it. Because if they don't, and they're all hangdog, and they're down, and they hold on to it, they're going to make another mistake just like it. I think there's something godly in that. We come and we repent of our sins, and we ask Jesus to forgive us, and we get up and we go on. Anybody like good news?
Yes.
How about forgiveness? Is that good news?
Yes.
Mercy, is that good news?
Yes.
Grace, is that good news? It's good news. We get up and we go on. So that's what the scripture is saying. And decide in your heart. And at some point, you forget the past and stretch forward to the future. And that's what Joseph did. Number one, decide in your heart. Number two, determine your purpose. Number one, decide in your heart. Number two, determine your purpose. At some point, I've got to stop and consider, who am I? And what am I called to do? We've got so many days, and that's why the psalmist says, so Lord, teach me to what? Remember? Number my days. Let's live powerfully and fully in the days he gives us. Come on, I said, let's live powerfully and fully in the days he gives us. Let me just tell you a quick story. I've spent quite a bit of time with a person that I absolutely have enjoyed my time with him, full of wisdom, quite a refined gentleman, had a great deal of authority in his life, was actually quite a renowned leader. He's now 86 years old, one of the most astute, sharp. He hasn't, not lost an inch up here, but he's finding physical difficulties with his life. And here's what he said. He's come to Port Ludlow because his wife passed. It was literally devastating, as, you know, some know it can be. I know what that's like, and I was a much younger man when that happened. I'm getting older now. But anyway, so he made this statement to me. He says, you know, Kevin, I sat after this happened, and I thought to myself, what do you really want to do with your life? And as he says, I'm 86, and I wouldn't have known that, but he says, I'm 86. And I said to myself, I need to sit down and write out my goals for what I want to do. And then he looked at me with a smile on his face. He says, I could only see 5 years into the future. So I couldn't see more than that, but I could see that. And he says, and right now, I'm living based on those goals that were on my heart that I wrote down. What goals has God given you? What goals has he put in your heart? What do you want to accomplish in the Lord? Decide in your heart, determine your purpose. Joseph had a determined purpose. No matter what circumstances may come to me, I'm going to live for God in the midst of my lousy circumstances. How many think he probably didn't enjoy getting up and going to the jail every day? Probably didn't have to go to the jail every day. He probably was in the jail every day. You know, have you ever done that? You wake up the next morning and go, oops, I'm still here. It didn't change. What must have happened? But there was a determined purpose. So you decide in your heart and you determine your purpose. What is it that you believe the Lord wants you to do? Joseph had come from a long line of faith. He had Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, his dad. Each had stepped out in faith into what the Lord had called them to do. And life and negative stuff happened to each of them. You remember one. Oh, my goodness. You know, you remember one of them keeps losing his wife to foreign leaders. And we don't ever see where he rose up and say, hey, hands off my wife. We don't see that. We see, hey, that's my sister. But he got up and went on. I think it would have been remarkable for Sarah to get up and go on, don't you? You did it again. Another is laid on an altar and dad's hands raised with a blade to strike him dead. And then they find a ram in the thicket. How much you want to bet Isaac's life was changed forever at that point? I'm never going to cross dad. But he learned faith. The Lord's changed me for a purpose and saved me for a reason. And I'm called to be a helper and a deliverer. I'm called to radiate his presence and I'm called to help shine the way, and I'm called to help bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And my past is under the blood and I don't have to go back to it again. And you know the old phrase, if you could do anything you want and you had all the money in the world, what would it be? Well, Jesus has all the money in the world and all the ability to anoint you to do whatever he's called you to do. No reservation. Determine your purpose. The Apostle Paul wrecked havoc in the church, destroyed Christians, destroyed lives and families, threw them in prison. Some were killed. And God redeemed him and Jesus saved him. And he poured out the rest of his days, not living the past outside of an acknowledgement of his testimony, but living to bring Jesus to everybody he saw. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, the words of Paul as he reaches the end of his life. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, The time of my departure is at hand. And then what does he say in verse 7? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, not only me also, but to all of those who love his appearing. I wish I could help, and I know you wish you could help me, erase completely some of the bad things people have done to us in our lives. But now that it's done, we have choices to make. We've got life to live. We've got a purpose in the Lord. Decide, determine. Number three, declare. Say it with me. Decide, determine, declare. One more time. Decide, determine, declare. Declare with your mouth. Watch this. Declare your direction. Declare your determination. Declare your calling. And it looks like this. John 1, verse 6. And if you're writing notes, I really want you to write that down. And I want you to look at that verse. Take time. In your Bible, turn to the book of John. Keep your finger there in Genesis 45. Turn to the book of John, chapter 1, verse 6. John chapter 1, verse 6. You get to the New Testament, it's the fourth gospel. John chapter 1, verse 6. Declare with your mouth. You make a decision with your heart, I'm going on. You determine your purpose. God's got me here for a reason, I'm going to live for it. And then you declare it with your mouth and listen to John chapter 1, verse 6. How many are there? How many? Okay, most of you, you're getting there. John 1, verse 6. And I'm going to do something with you with this verse. John 1, verse 6, very simply says these words. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. Say it with me. Read it with me. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. One more time. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. Who wrote this verse? Who wrote it? John the Beloved. Yeah. John, you know, the one Jesus loved. Which is all part of the point that I'm making. Declare with your mouth what you believe in your heart, what you know to be true. Here's John. Got redeemed just like you and I get redeemed. Got saved from sin. He's one of the ones who, you know, I mean, he was not only the one that Jesus loved, but there were times when the son of, you know, the sons of thunder and the Lord were going to call down lightning on these people that aren't responding to you. And Jesus said, you guys don't even know what spirit you're of. You know, just like little kids. What are you guys doing? But once he's been changed, Jesus is dead, buried, resurrected. John knows his purpose and John understands, wait a minute. I'm sent from God. I have a message to give you. I've got good news to bring to you. My neighborhood, my block, my neighbors, my communities. I've got something to tell you. His name is Jesus and he loves you and he wants to redeem you and forgive you. And you who have been victims in life, there's peace and there's healing of heart through Jesus and he cares for you. I'm sent from God with a message. Just like you are. There was a man, there was a woman, sent from God. His and her name is, I want you to fill it in with me. Say it with me. There was a man or woman sent from God. His name is, fill in your own. Kevin, boom it out. Confuse the room. Kevin. That was confusing. What are you doing? It's a man sent from God. John's got a gospel to preach and Jesus to share and people to reach. And it's not arrogance. He was the man Jesus loved. That's not arrogance. He just knew it to be true and he declared it. That's what we need to do. Luke 6, verse 45, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we really will come to a conclusion. Look at Joseph's decision, determination, and declaration. Go back to Genesis 45. Genesis 45. Verse 5, Genesis 45, verse 5, for God sent me. Genesis 45, verse 7, God sent me. Genesis 45, verse 8. It was not you who sent me here, but God. Why? Why? Why did all this happen? He knew why. He decided in his heart to not live as a victim of his circumstances. He determined his purpose. He declared it to his brothers. And look at the reasons why. Verse 5. Why did God send him? Verse 5. To preserve life. Verse 7. To preserve posterity. Preserving a remnant of his family. Verse 7 again. To save their lives with a great deliverance. Why are you here? To be a life preserver. To save lives and to be an ambassador for the Lord and demonstrate his presence to bring deliverance. Remember a deliverer to see people saved from their circumstances. The World War II generation and soldiers who have fought and died to bring us victory, to deliver us from tyranny. And some of us yield that achievement of theirs and give it up. And that's a heartbreaking tragedy in our day. But they died not deciding to be heroes. They didn't determine that. They just determined, I have to go, I have to fight, and if it costs me my life so my family can live, that's what I will do. That's what Jesus did. And that's what we do. Life. Pastor Carl used to always say, get life, bring life, share life. What are the results? Quick results and we'll conclude. Verse 8. He's made me a father to Pharaoh. Verse 8, Genesis 45. Made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of all his house, ruler through all the land of Egypt. You see three things. Father to Pharaoh, lord of all his house, a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. The word father there means principal and chief. When you decide to not live in your circumstances, God can move through you and give you a personal victory and authority. He gives you position in your life and in your circumstances. He allows you to reign as a father with influence for others and influence for your family. Don't hide your light under a bushel basket, but reign in your circumstances in life. When you understand God has sent you and you are His, live His purpose. Father, authority in life. Number two, Lord of all His house. One more time, along that same spirit. What does the Lord of His house do? He rules. He's sovereign and controller. That's what that Hebrew word means. Sovereign controller. Rule with authority where God has placed you. Does that mean you walk around your neighborhoods with arrogance? Not at all. It means you don't give up your victory when somebody doesn't like what you've got. It means you keep reaching out your hand of mercy and you keep reaching out to shine the love of Jesus even when it's not seen on your job. When people don't like what you're doing, you don't have to yield to you. You don't come under their control, but you allow the Lord to control your circumstances because you've made a choice. Someone say amen.
Amen.
How many know if the spirit of where you go to work or whatever you do is bad, you can pray all day long, whether it's speaking in tongues or praying under your breath, holding on, believing God. How many know God is bigger than the bad people?
Amen.
Actually, the scripture says it's not bad people. It's principalities and powers that control their lives. And you want to see the bad be delivered so they can become free before the Lord.
Amen.
We're not here to be arrogant. We're here to love. But we're here to walk in the authority God has given us. Ruler of His house. Number three, ruler throughout the land. That literally means in the Hebrew to have dominion, to rule, to walk in victory. What happened in Joseph led to what happened through Joseph. He decided, he determined, he declared. And the authority of God that he yielded to in his own heart and mind came rolling out through how he lived. Today, on Memorial Day weekend, I urge us all to love and thank God for those who live that same way, selflessly on our behalf, pouring it all out for us. And all our remaining years in gratitude, and most of all for Jesus. But let us determine in our heart, I'm making a decision. I'm not going to let the past control me. I'm going to let it go. I'm going on. Determining then my purpose. Determine your purpose. In the years that I've got left, in the days that I've got left, Lord, I want to live for You. I want to do what you've given me opportunity to do because I know it's God who sent me. And number three, declare it. Declare it. Let your words agree and come out of your heart when they're in agreement with the Word of God. Say it with me. God sent me. One more time. God sent me. Now look at each other. Say it one more time. God sent me. How about you? Stand with me, would you please, church? Musicians, will you come? I want to go back to that song that some of you looked like your eyes glazed over a little bit. We've done it a few times. It's Be Bold and Be Strong. Because the Lord has created that strength in your heart and life. And so it's important for us to declare that He is in charge. Key of G, team. Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Now say it with me again. Be bold. Come on, let me hear it. Shout it out. Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord thy God is with thee. You believe it? We decide that we're free. We agree with your word. We're washed clean by the blood. Lord, we determine with our heart the purpose for which you've called us in our remaining days and lives, our hours, our weeks, our days, and our years. Lord, we give it all to you so we can live for your purpose. And Lord Jesus, to bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we declare with our mouth in agreement with your word that you have sent us and we trust you and believe you. Whether it's shining the light of a precious and powerful smile and greeting or literally leading our neighbor to Jesus, Lord, we determine we'll go out and live for your purpose this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you to do it. He loves you so much. If you're one of those who have lived and you understand what it's like to be a victim of terrible things and you need some prayer that you might be able to leave that in the hands of the Lord, we'll be honored to pray with you. If you want a freedom in the Spirit of God in your life, we'll be honored to pray for you about that as well. But I want you to remember one thing this morning. Jesus loves you. Can you say it with me? Jesus loves me. There's a man, a woman sent from God. His or her name was?
Tim.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Bless your people as they go from this place with rejoicing. In Jesus' name. And they all said?
Amen.
Have a fantastic day in the presence of the Lord.